So you just heard the track Brother by Half Request, who are an Eora-based four-piece. They merge influences from lo-fi guitar rock of the 90s to modern Australian DIY to create intricate soundscapes of lead guitar, vocal harmonies, and electronic folly. Half Request hope to contribute to the new wave of honest Australian alternative music. Now, Brother comes from their debut EP Sunmark, which has just been released, and I'm lucky to be joined by them in the studio, Tom and Elijah from Half Request. Hello, how are we?
Hey, good. How's it going?
Thanks for having us.
No worries. So congrats on the EP. It's like your first full body of work. How does it feel to have it out?
Good. Very exciting. Like, yeah. Felt like it was a good sample of the stuff that we've done over this period of time. So happy to put it out and excited to see where it goes.
Hell yeah. And Elijah, you're a fairly new band. Your first release was April this year. How did the band form?
We all went to school together, so we've been playing together for probably 2 to 3 years now. But we didn't really have much like vision going on for what our sound was or what kind of band we were going for, so we didn't release music until this year. We didn't find much rush to release something that we weren't like really happy with and something that wasn't like a cohesive work. And
have you is it like a collaborative process, or is it one main songwriter that does everything?
I'd say it's like Elijah and I work together on it.
Tom was a very big driving force at the start, and he still is today, which I'm grateful for. He's very driven, which keeps me motivated, because I can be pretty laid back or lazy sometimes about it. But Tom will often come with an idea for a song or something, or I'll start with an idea, and then from that first idea, we will work on it together and jam on it in practice. And yeah.
You need that like driving force to keep you going. I feel like there's always one main band member that will like, guys, come on, we have to do something.
Yeah, especially when you're in a band with a bunch of your schoolmates, like you kind of want to mess around and just like take the piss.
We had like a period where a lot of us were listening to a lot of Tool, and our practice would be like half just like everyone jamming on like Numa by Tool or something, and we'd just get nothing done.
No, Lateralis just like
yeah, 1 second of silence and we start playing metal riffs. we've come a long way. Still Hell sneaks yeah. in sometimes.
Well, it's got to, yeah. You've like really changed your sound since then. From I haven't really heard any Tool influences. You say you're influenced by bands like Garage Sale, Swap Meet, and the third one was Alex G.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why those bands?
Should I do it? I like in high school I discovered. When I was 16, I discovered Alex G, and that was like the first like of that kind of scene that I got into. And then from that, I got really into a lot of music out of Philadelphia, like bands like Spirit of the Beehive, and then Tagabao and other bands like that who are newer. And that's kind of when I focused in on that type of music, and I was like, this is what I really want to make. But I felt like that was really American music, like. And I wanted to create something Australian. And so I was really searching for, like, who's making this type of music in Australia. And then I found, like, Garage Sale was the first band I found. And I was like, holy shit, like, this is so good. And I, like, their EP is amazing. And I was actually traveling and I, like, would just, like, listen to it on loop forever. And, yeah, I guess from that I was like, that's what I want to do. That's the sound that I want to make. It's cool that there are people already making it.
Hell yeah.
And so yeah,
I think kind of those bands as well, like, it's kind of become, me and Tom have listened to them a lot in the last like year or so, and it kind of just becomes a bit of a soundtrack for your like years after high school when you're still young. Like, I associate Alex G and Garage Sale and all of those, like, that kind of sound with being young and being like still growing as a person. I don't know, I really like connect with it.
Yeah. I feel like they're very kind of, I don't want to say like nostalgical, but they kind of,
yeah, personal and yeah. nostalgic, yeah, for sure.
And like all their kind of aesthetic stuff is, you have like the tape kind of footage and the kind of washy aesthetics which does go with it.
And there's no shame in it, like, not in it being like a bit raw, the recording.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of bands or a lot of people recording music will put a lot of emphasis on trying to record things over and over to get the perfect take or to get the perfect like mix. But I think listening to Alex G, you can tell that he kind of just recorded it and he was like, whatever, and just released it. And it makes it feel a lot more personal when the take isn't perfect or when his vocals are a little bit like shaky. And that connects with the feeling of being young and making it feel nostalgic or personal. Like,
is that why, so you guys are self-produced at home DIY, is that kind of why you went for that approach as well?
Yeah, and like
saving money.
I would say mainly like, I mean, a combination of the two, I guess. Like, always loved DIY music before we were like making music, I guess. And it's just like, feels more personal, and like, I'm a total control freak, which I've gotten better at. But I think if I like went to a studio and like someone was like mixing my stuff, I'd be way too over their shoulder.
Yeah.
And so we just worked out something that worked for us.
Do you use like any tape stuff, or is it mainly like DI and digital?
It's kind of like, I'm just on my desk, I've got like a little Vibrachamp, which is like the smallest tube Fender amp. And I got it, like, my uncle gave me this like tube of guitar lubricant, which is like a thing.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I've got no use for it. So I started using it as like a mic stand. I've kind of got it like,
the mic stand that's like meant to mic the guitar amp is too tall, so we have to like slant it over. So yeah, it's like, so the most bootleg setup.
It's like a triangle, and so if I like put my mouse the wrong way, then I like knock it over and like slam my mic on the table, which is not good.
Precarious.
But yeah, our setup is mostly like, we record drums at our friend Frank's house, who's got a pretty sick drum studio, to be honest. Like,
yeah, his brother moved out, and so he just like chucked his drum kit where he's in his brother's room,
soundproofed it and everything, and he's got mics. And yeah, we're pretty lucky that Frank's been able to have the money to invest in some good like drum recording gear, so we've been able to get good takes on that. And for guitars, it's just one mic on a guitar amp, like pretty simple, and bass just DI, and then all of the electronic stuff Tom just does on Ableton.
Yeah, it's like the band Feeble Little Horse talk about being like Ableton core. There's all like the pitch stuff you can do with like the samples. It's like really intuitive, and like a lot of the stuff is just like reversed and repitched guitar.
Mm, it's like a whole new wave of like electronic shoegaze, which has come through recently. And I feel like it's easy to jump on because it's, yeah, as you say, it's like cheaper to do DIY. Mm. You said you want to contribute to Honest Australian Alternative. What does that mean?
Yeah, in some garage sale interviews, that's what they call their music. And I just think like that really resonated with me. Like their lyrics are just super like, yeah, honest. Mm. And I think we were calling ourselves like shoegaze for a while, which is kind of a stretch maybe. And like, I don't really feel like emo is right either. So just trying to find like different.
Someone commented on one of our videos, emo gaze. I don't mind.
But it just all seems so
silly. We're for the emo gaze. Yeah, yeah.
It just all seems so silly. So I don't know. But I really want to, I guess more the point of what I'm saying with that type of thing is like, I want to contribute to this amazing scene that we have growing in like, especially Adelaide and Melbourne and Brisbane, but also Sydney. Like there are so many great bands coming up right now and we just want to be like them.
And also like, I find there's been a bit of a tendency for Australian bands to like appeal to an American or a British audience. Mm. And like, I definitely struggled with this being a singer. Like when we would play covers in high school, and we would play covers when before we were writing our own music, like I would adapt my voice to sound like the person in the song, and it was really like a bit of a procedure for me to find my own voice and not have shame in like singing in an Australian accent.
Mm.
Like because there will be a lot of Australian artists who sing in an American accent, and I think that that's what it means to be like honest Australian music, to be like accept that we're Australian, and like by listening to the music you can tell that it's Australian. Like
yeah,
that's, and we got that from like from Garage Sale and Armlock as well. Like there was a specific moment I remember when me and Tom were listening to a song, and it was like there was a lyric about a bath.
Yeah,
it's an American song, you bath. Like
yeah,
yeah.
But there was a real emphasis on him saying bath, which we thought was
it's
like
kind of lame looking back. But
it's nitpicky. It's nitpicky.
We were like so hyped. We were like, he said bath, and we were like, so do you know?
Oh, cool. And you said So you got some songs here, little playlists you've made for the show, featuring bands like Shady Nasty and Her New Knife and Wishy. Why those songs? Is it just ones that inspire you or that you've been listening to?
Shady Nasty is for sure the thing about like just what I was talking about. Like yeah, they're so unapologetically Australian, mm-hmm. and I love it. Like
yeah,
and yeah, I've been super into Wishy at the moment. Like. I don't know. I just love their music. Super catchy. Super easy.
Super, good.
Super easy listening. Super good. Like, I don't know. They do a good job of merging, like, indie or alt pop with, like, some heavier shoegazy influences. Mm. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, it's, like, so catchy, but, like, not in a cringe way at all. Like, it just makes me, like, jam out and, like, really happy music, I think.
Mm.
Not in a cringe way, it's funny.
Yeah.
Cringe. And your little, like, logo EP, it's the two cows. It looks like a baby cow and a mum cow. They, like, can you, like, explain what that is?
Yeah. I just, I play in another band called Stir, and the bassist in that band is a really talented artist, Georgia.
Mm.
And she's helped us out with all our EP art. And I guess I just had that idea of, like, the calf and the cow. I can't really point to anywhere that it came from specifically, but it just maybe felt like a super like cuddly and cute kind of thing, which I wanted to capture.
Maybe the Garage Sale EP album cover as well. They got like a little horse that's kind of like a
similar
vibe. Yeah,
there's a lot of horses and stuff, like the Twine album, New Old Horse. I feel like there's a lot of horses.
Horse Jumper of Love.
Horse Jumper of Love. Feeble Little Horse. So we got to give love to other farm animals.
Maybe
and
it's
the
horse
single
core.
The single covers for our singles that came out as well were like a similar vibe but just different animals.
Yeah,
yeah, animals cuddling, just like I just wanted cute stuff.
Mm.
nothing too deep behind it.
Yeah, okay. Just looks nice. And what are some influences outside of music that you kind of draw upon when you're writing?
I've been really into, not for their music, but like for their aesthetic or their approach to aesthetics, the band Julie.
Because
they're like architecture students, I think, or they went to architecture university or something. But in their interviews, they talk about like a process of like concentrating your aesthetic, and that plays into like the visual art that they do for their stuff as well. And so I'm really inspired by that right now. To like, I've been like messing around on Photoshop a lot, trying to make stuff that I feel like connects with our music.
I feel like it's really important these days to like build a world, because everything's so online. Now you have to have like a really clear aesthetic and then be like stand out from everyone, because it's just so saturated with so much shit. Not shit, but like so many different artists.
That was definitely, so much in good line, music. Definitely in line with us finding the sound as well as finding like the visual aesthetic. Like those things came together in the same process and in the same time.
And also just like, I feel like I'm still like learning who I even am as like a adult. Like we're 19, so
yeah.
I feel like a year ago we like didn't even know like what we wanted to look like. Like you know what I mean? Like we graduate high school and you kind of like find out what you even want to do. Be like, I guess.
Yeah, so much learning to do. So you have a headline show at the Botany View Hotel on the 16th of August. Can you tell us more about that, Elijah?
Yeah, we're playing, as you said, at the Botany View. We got Should Be Sweet and Ligature, who are two pretty awesome bands playing with us. We've played with Ligature two or three times now, and they don't necessarily have very similar music to us, but we like respect them and we think they're super sick. And we haven't played with Should Be Sweet before, but we liked their aesthetic on their Instagram, and we've heard some of their music, and it's cool.
Super good.
So we'll be starting at 7 and playing songs from our EP and some new songs that we haven't even recorded yet or released. And yeah.
Exciting. And anything else you want to plug coming up?
Not really. We spend so much time towards this one EP thing that we've just been like nothing. We've got a couple more shows afterwards, just opening shows, but nothing. We're hoping to record those new songs that we'll be playing next weekend in about December, we think. When we get a bit of time off uni and work to focus on recording.
It's hard work-life balance.
Yeah.
And if your music had a taste or like a flavor, what would it be?
Oof, wow. That's a crazy question.
I don't know. I'm scared. I'm going to say something that Tom completely disagrees with.
Oh, wait, this is interesting.
No, you're allowed to. You go.
I don't know. Like,
we can both answer it.
I was going to say vanilla, but like that sounds boring, but like people use vanilla to describe something boring, but I was thinking more about like the actual. But I feel like
that's, really
I feel like
good,
that's
actually.
Not right. Because you said kind of like cute, but then also kind of like, I don't know.
I mean, that's as good as anything I've got. I was going to say, when I was mixing, I would like make coffees and then forget about them. So I associate it with like just like warm or like room temperature coffee.
Oh,
okay.
But
that's not like relatable.
I think it is though. I'd kind of do the same.
Yeah.
Vanilla and warm, lukewarm coffee.
I guess I'd hope that's not what people are like thinking when they hear it though.
Lukewarm coffee with vanilla syrup in it.
Yeah. Cool. So you can check out Sunmark now on streaming services, and you can catch them at their upcoming gigs. We'll have a link on the 2SER website. This has been Half Request. Tom and Elijah, thanks for the chat.
Thanks so much.